unfortunately, the journey becomes unexpectedly protracted. The individual likes to return home as soon as possible. So he likes to end the journey as soon as possible. When we commenced reading this book, our thoughts were that in 4 classes we would exhaust it. But I think it's gotten us for over 10 weeks now. So the zeal to end it and look at something else is really high. But nevertheless, inshallah, each of the points that remain will be given a due, inshallah, without extension, inshallah. And today we'll be looking at the last 4 points, the last 5 points from this book by Sheikh Yusuf Al-Wahabi, Ashraf Islam. Sheikh Yusuf ibn Abdullah Al-Wahabi wrote that book, as we mentioned earlier, as a master's degree thesis course in Umul Qura University in Makkah. So we chose to depend on the book for the reasons we mentioned at the beginning. So we followed his arrangement this far. The 5th point he mentioned on Ashraf al-Sa'a al-Kubra is al-Khusufat al-Thalatha. Al-Khusufat al-Thalatha. The 3 quakes. The 3 quakes that he mentioned. But like we said, to say these khusufat are mere quakes will not appropriately explain what it means. One of the ulama described these khusufat. He says it is inshiqaq al-ard wa ghiyab ma fawqaha fi dakhilha. He says these khusufat, each of them is inshiqaq al-ard, that the earth opens up, and that wa ghiyab ma fawqaha, and whatever is on it becomes consumed inside it. Ghiyab ma fawqaha fi dakhilha. Whatever is on it becomes consumed inside it. I think a similar example was a recent quake that was reported in Denmark. That quake, you see the earth opened and it consumed everything that was inside it. In fact, aerial photographs show depth. But these kind of consumption of the earth, of the things that are above it, was in a low scale, very low scale, compared to these khusufat that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam tells us will indicate the end of time. These ones, like we mentioned, of the alamat as-sa'a al-kubra, they will be wide scale, they will be extensive. The one we saw that I mentioned was just about a street or so, just like a 4-way junction. They witnessed that the earth opened up and swallowed what was in it. But in this case, it will be widespread. Its extension will be very, very wide with respect to these ones that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam. Sheikh Yusuf al-Wahabi said, وَهِيَ خَفٌ بِالْمَشْرِقِ. There will be one earth swallow, بِالْمَغْرِبِ. Bil-Mashriq, one of them would be at Al-Mashriq, the East. One of them will be at Al-Mashriq, and the other will be at what? Al-Maghrib, the place of set of the sun. What do we call that in the 4 cardinal points? Al-Maghrib, place of set, the West. And he says, وَخَصْفٌ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْأَرْضِ. And one other earth swallow that we will witness in Jaziratul Arab, in the Arabian Peninsula, Al Jaziratul Arab. in the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, like we mentioned, issues of Ashraf al-Sa'a are issues of ghaib. We don't know any about them except what Allah and His Messenger tell us about it, because they are from the issues of the unseen. So when we mention a point, we just mention the ahadith that are authentic about it and try to explain as the ulama have mentioned, and then we go to the next point without giving extensions that the text have not given. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith reported by Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari in Sahih of Imam Muslim. Hudhayfa, not Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman is not from Banu Ghifar, but this is Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari. Is not also Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari is Jundub ibn Junada, or Jundab ibn Junada. That is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. It's neither of the two. He's not Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, neither is he Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. He is Hudhayfa ibn Asid. Somebody can say, why tell us about this? Ulama say, regarding these kind of mentioning, they say, Zukira litamyi. Those things were mentioned so that people will differentiate between the people that were involved. This hadith is the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu. We are giving him this importance because the rest of the points we'll be discussing today is contained in this single hadith. So when we go to the points, we'll still come back to this hadith. When we go to the point, we still come back to this hadith, inshallah. So the hadith was reported by Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari from Banu Ghifar, the same tribe with Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. He says, radiyallahu anhu, اطلع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم علينا ونحن نتذاكر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم suddenly came to us. وَنَحْنُ نَتَذَاكَرْ, while we were having a conversation. The companions were having a conversation. In other riwayat of this hadith, it said that he was in a room nearby the place where they were having the conversation. So perhaps he was even hearing what they were saying. عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, فَقَالَ مَا تَذْكُرُونَ. So the Prophet asked him, رب عليه الصلاة والسلام, مَا تَذْكُرُونَ. In other riwayat, it says, مَا تَذَاكَرُونَ, مَا تَذْكُرُونَ. What are you talking about? مَا تَذَاكَرُونَ. What is your converse about? What are you conversing? مَا تَذْكُرُونَ. What are you mentioning? مَا تَذَاكَرُونَ. What are you conversing about? They mean the same thing here. رضي الله عنه. So the companions of Hudhayfa said, قَالُوا نَذْكُرُ السَّاعَةِ. So we are talking about the last hour. The point in this, in the companions discussing the last hour, is that it is very important to them. When something is important to an individual's mind, he talks about it regularly. When he sleeps, he dreams of it. We mentioned the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha when she remembered Dajjal and she was crying. And the hadith of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she remembered Dajjal, she could not sleep. And the rest of the companions. So they remember these issues because for them, it is a reality that will occur. So even in their discussions, as we will discuss politics today in our own time, that is what we have time for now. As we will discuss football and footballer, those people will be discussing as-sa'a. Not just about that, each of them will discuss what are the preparations. In case it happens now, what will I do? What will I put forward before Allah subhanahu? So they were mentioning as-sa'a. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم told them and said, إِنَّهَا لَن تَقُومَ حَتَّى تَرَوْنَا قَبْلَهَا عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ. إِنَّهَا لَنْ تَقُومَ Certainly the hour will not be established حَتَّى تَرَوْنَ عَشَرَ آيَاتٍ Until you see 10 signs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me tell you, the last hour will not be established until you see 10 things. فَذَكَّرَ الدُّخَانِ So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the smoke, you shall come back with Dukhan. وَالدَّجَّال We had discussed Dajjal. وَالدَّابَ And the animal that shall come out of the earth, we shall come back to it, inshallah. وَطُلُوعَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا And the sun rising from its place of set. When the sun will rise from its place of set, it's one of the signs of the last hour. وَنُزُولُ عِيسَى مِنْ مَرْيَمْ We had discussed نُزُولُ عِيسَى It says, وَيَاجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned Yajuj and Majuj wa thalathata khusufin and three earth swallows that shall occur at the end of time. Khusfun bil mashriq wa khusfun bil maghrib wa khusfun bi jaziratil arab. This is our point. In the east there will be a khusf, an earth swallow. In the west, there will be an earth swallow. And in the Arabian Peninsula, there will also be an earth swallow. The earth will swallow those things that are above it at the time. Whatever was above it will be swallowed by the earth. The Prophet mentioned them, alayhi salatu. And then he says, وَآخِرُ ذَلِكَ نَارٌ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ And the last of all of that is Narun, a fire, Takhruju min al-Yaman, that will emerge from Yemen. Takhruju an-nasa ila mahsharihim. It will gather the people, it will send the people away, it will pursue the people, ila mahsharihim, to their place of gathering. This mahshar, we shall come back to it inshallah, but it has to do with the mahshar on the earth. Because there will also be mahshar on the day of Qiyam. This mahshar is on the earth. The people will be gathered at a single location before the ark finally becomes established over them. So the point of reference here for this first point on Al-Khusufatu Al-Thalatha is what? The last or one of the last points that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about Salatata khusuf and he mentioned alayhi salatu wa salam khasfun bil mashriq wa khasfun bil maghribi wa khasfun bil jazirati al arab or bil jazirati al arab these places will witness us swallows al imam al hafiz ibn hajar he said yes before their own times there have been earthquakes and earth swallows But these ones that will come at the end of time will be widespread, their extent will be large, and they will affect quite a large number of people. May Allah protect us. So if you ask, was the last tsunami part of it? I'll tell you that I don't know. Because we didn't know of it except what the Prophet told us, alayhi salam. He only said one in the east, one in the west, one in the Arabian Peninsula. Where exactly he did not mention alayhi salam. That is one. Secondly is that from the text and the discussions about these khusufat, it appears that they will occur after the emergence of Dajjal and after the descent of Isa alayhi salam and after the coming of Yajuj and Majuj. So it does not appear, and Allah knows best, it does not appear to be those ones that we have seen. In terms of the last one in Nepal was of very high magnitude, but most of it were earthquakes. And what we expect these things to be, as one of the ulama explained, it is more of what we can call earth swallows rather than being water earthquakes. Allahu alam. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. She also reported a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. regarding these three swallows. And that hadith was collected by Al-Imam al-Tabrani in his Mu'jam. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَكُونُ بَعْدِي خَصٌ بِالْمَشْرِكِ. The same thing. وَخَصٌ بِالْمَغْرِبِ وَخَصٌ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْأَرَضِ. So she asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is it like that? Why will Allah command the earth to swallow the people? And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, إِذَا أَكْثَرَ أَهْلُهَا الْخَبَرِ إِذَا أَكْثَرَ أَهْلُهَا الْخَبَرِ. When the people of the earth became more in their evil, they spread the evil. إِذَا أَكْثَرَ أَهْلُهَا الْخَبَرِ. When the people of the earth became warped, spread evil more on the earth, Allah will command the evil, the earth, to swallow them. There are ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indicates that one of the things that will make Allah order the earth to swallow people is when musicians become spread, female musicians, qinat. These ahadith are authentic too, and they've been reported by Al-Imam al-Tabrani. When especially we have them amongst Muslim women singing girls amongst Muslims, it will be amongst the reasons why Allah will cause the earth to swallow the people. May Allah protect us. So the fifth point the Shaykh mentioned is Al-Khusufatu Al-Talafatu Wa'iyya Khasfun Bil-Mashriki Wa-Khasfun Bil-Maghrib Wa-Khasfun Fi Jaziratil Al-Arab. The sixth point he mentioned is Al-Dukhan, the smoke. This smoke is a smoke that Allah will cause to occur towards the end of time. And if we notice in the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn Atid al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually started with what? Al-Dukhan, the smoke. So towards the end of time, after these events of Isa alayhi salam, al-Masih al-Dajjal, and all of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause a smoke to come to the surface of the earth. Real smoke. Why do we say real smoke? We'll come back to it, inshallah. Allah will cause smoke to come to the surface of the earth. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يَأَخُذُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَالزُّكْمَةِ. This smoke will take the believer like you have qatar. So go into nostrils and people begin to sneeze and cough. That is how the believers will feel it. And he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَيَأَخُذُ الْكَافِرِ فَيَنْتَفِقُ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِنْ كُلِّ مَسْمَعٍ مِنْهُ. So it will affect the kafir, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَسْمَعٍ مِنْهُ. It will get into all of his sense of hearing. His ears, his head, his mind, everywhere, he will be puffed up in it. The smoke will puff him up. But for the Muslim, he will only feel it like the individual feels sneeze and kata. This is the nature of that dukhan. In a hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Badiru bil a'mal sitta. Badiru bil a'mal sitta. This hadith is collected in Sahih Muslim. Say, Badiru bil a'mal sitta. Bring up actions. Push forward actions before six things occur. Precede six things with action. Precede six things with good deeds. That is, push forward good deeds before six things happen. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam in that hadith, the first is Tulu ash-sham min maghribiha. The sun rising from its place of set. push forward, perform good deeds before the sun rises from its place of set. Because when it rises from its place of set, like Allah said in the Quran, Allah will not make iman to benefit any person that will have iman at the time. We'll read the hadith from the Prophet said to alayhi salam in explaining that verse of the Quran in Al-An'am, Allah will not make iman benefit anyone who does not perform good deeds now. Although the people will all believe, like he said alayhi salam. So the first thing he mentioned is Tulu ash-shams min maghribiha aw ad-dukhan. This is our point of reference. Or the smoke. Make good deeds before the smoke come up towards the end of time. Aw ad-dajjal or the dajjal. Put up good deeds. Ulama say, why did he connect dajjal with this? Since dajjal would have come and gone before this. He said because even at the time of Dajjal, when the fitna of Dajjal comes, it will engulf the people such that they will not have time for good deeds. If they want to perform, the fitna of the time will not allow them to perform good deeds. And those who had not believed will be more confused about believing. You want to believe in Allah that takes life. This is a man who is taking life and giving life as it would seem at the time. You want to believe in Allah that rains from the heaven. This is a man that commands rain to fall. So if a man had not believed before Dajjal emerges, the individual had not believed before Dajjal emerges, he'll have more difficulties having to believe. Because even those who believe, many of them will turn kuffar. Many of the people will turn kuffar at the time of Dajjal, as we'd explained earlier. So that is why he connected these events with the coming of the Dajjal. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, awi dabba, or the emergence of the dabba, the beast that will come out also at the end of time. Aw khasata ahadikum, perform good deeds. Badiru bil a'mali sita, precede these 6 things with good deeds. And the fourth one he mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, was what he called khafatu ahadikum. What is peculiar to each of you? What is for you alone? And he meant by that, according to the ulama, the death of each of us. It is peculiar to each of us. Each of us, like Al-Imam Al-Muzani said, rahimahullah, wal khalqu mayituna bi ajalihim. عند نفادي أرزاقهم وانقطاع آجالهم. Each of us, الخلق ميتون. Each of us must die. عند نفادي أرزاقهم. When the provision Allah has written for each of us becomes exhausted, we will die. وانقطاع آجالهم. And then the time becomes expired, we have to go. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith referred to as khafatu ahadikum aw amr al-ammah, or what will engulf the entirety of people. That is the time that Allah will kill everybody. Of course, if individuals do not die as individuals, then everybody will die at the same time after the gathering of the fire of the people to the place where Allah will take the life of everyone. So he said we should precede these 6 things with good deeds. The first one is Tulu ash-shams min maghribiha, the sun rising from its place of set. The second one is what? Ad-duha. This is our point of reference for mentioning this hadith. And like we mentioned in the first hadith of Huzaifa, that hadith also includes what? Ad-duha. That the smoke will come at the end of time. But there are some amongst the ulama, amongst them a companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who holds that this smoke, because one of the verses the ulama employed to establish that the smoke will come is the verse in Surah Al-Dukhan itself, wherein Allah says, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءِ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. فَارْتَقِبْ, let them wait, and let us all watch with them, يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ, the day that the heavens will release, will come with بِدُخَانٍ Mubin, with a smoke that will be clear. It will be clearly smoke. And he says, Yamshanna, this smoke will engulf the people. So some of the ulama, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, amongst the companions, interpret this smoke to mean what happened to Quraysh. His hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari that there was a time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed and said, Allahumma a'inni alayhim bisab'in kasab'i Yusuf. Allahumma a'inni alayhim bisab'in kasab'i Yusuf. O Allah, help me over Quraysh bisab'in, with some 7, period of 7, kasab'i Yusuf, like the 7 years during the time of Yusuf, the 7 years of drought. So ulama reported that at that time the Quraysh were so impoverished, Allah did not provide them rain, their plants did not grow, their animals were not producing, they were not producing offspring, they were not producing milk. So the people suffered a lot of hunger, to the extent that they were eating carcass of animals that fell dead. Quraysh ate it. And they become so hungry to the extent that when they looked at the heaven, they thought that the smoke was already engulfing them. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, this is what this verse means. But others amongst the ulama, including Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, all say that this verse actually refers to Dukhan. Because what happened to Quraysh was they were looking at the sky because of hunger, thinking that they were encapsulated in a cloud of smoke, but it wasn't actually smoke. And what Allah is talking about here is Dukhanin Mubin Yabshanna. What Allah is talking about in this verse is a clear-cut smoke that will encapsulate the people. But in terms of Quraysh, they were not actually encapsulated in a dukhan. They were only feeling, because of their hunger at the time, that they were covered up in a smoke. So this one differs from that. Even though there is an asar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, wherein he said, that one has happened, this one will also happen. So Ibn Mas'ud was not only saying that the verse refers to that, by way of saying that the smoke will not come at the end of time. He has an asar that is authentic from him, that this verse is referring to that, but the smoke will still come at the end of time. So there is no issue regarding this verse. So one of the verses that establishes that one of the signs of the last hour is the thick smoke that will engulf the people is that verse in Surah 2, Dukhan, wherein Allah says, فَرْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ يَغْشَى النَّاسِ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They are the ones who will say, oh, this is severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it will be said to them, see punishment from Allah. May Allah protect us. The point of reference here is Ad-Dukhan. We saw it in that verse, in the first hadith of Huzaifa ibn Usayd, and then in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So that's about Ad-Dukhan. The seventh point he mentioned, where will it come out from? There are no authentic proofs to establish them. For how long will the earth be engulfed, will the people be engulfed in that smoke? There are no authentic evidence to prove them. Whatever anyone will say about them will require an authentic hadith. So this is what the proofs have said, and this is what we are saying, inshallah. Except there are clear-cut ahadith regarding them. Allahu alam. The seventh point the Shaykh mentioned, he mentioned Tulu'u al-Shamsi min Maghribiha. This has been repeated, cool? The sun's rising from a place of set. The sun will rise from the east and set in the west. It will rise from the east from Mashriq, and then it will set at the Maghrib. This is what has happened. Yes, there is hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that Al-Imam Ahmad collected in his Musnad, that the sun will go under the arsh of Allah and then it will prostrate under the arsh. Allah will order it to stand up from prostration and set and rise at the time of rising, and then at the time of set it will go back to where it started from, and then Allah will say to it at the time of rising, rise from where you are to rise. And that on this day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command it to rise from the place of set. This hadith is authentic. Although some of the people disbelieve and query the hadith, that how can we say that the sun bows down and makes sajda? Ulama say the sun makes sajda. It makes sajda. Allah says, the messenger says from the wahi he received from his Lord, that the sun makes sajda. How it makes the sajda? It doesn't mean it's making sajda the way we make our own sujood. The sun makes sajda, it makes sajda. How it makes sajda is something that lies beyond your own understanding. It does not mean that it does not make sajda. It's like somebody says there are microorganisms, little organisms that cause evil and diseases to men. And the person says, show me. Because he can't show him with his naked eyes, and then he denies that they don't occur. This is from the highest level of ignorance and the rejection of truth. So the fact that we do not know how the sun makes sajda, how the sun makes ruku and all of these, does not mean that they do not actually make ruku and sajda. Because those, our own is for us as human beings. Theirs is for them too, as creatures that Allah has created. He knows how, where and when and in what form they make these worship for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when his messenger, whom he sent to us, informed us that they make sajda, then it behoves us, for our iman in the messenger alayhi salatu, it behoves us to believe that these creatures of Allah also make the sajda. We mentioned Tulu al-Shams in the hadith of Huzaifa. We also mentioned Tulu al-Shams, yani min maghribiha, also from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So this hadith we'll read is the third evidence about the fact that at the end of time there will be tulu'u shams min maghribiha. This hadith was also collected by Abdul Rahman ibn Sakh, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Each time I find a hadith he reports, I'm so glad at it. Because it is a show as if Allah crowned the man's effort, radiallahu anhu. He only stayed 3 years with the Prophet Muhammad. But he vowed from the very beginning, he affirmed that these 3 years, I will not leave the Prophet Muhammad. Everything he says, I will hear it, not only that, I will write it down and I will memorize it. He was doing 3 things. He mentioned that he divided his night into 3, and that hadith is authentic. In a part of the night, he will find sleep. In the other part of the night, he would memorize what he had written down from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Memorizing them and studying them. These were the things he spent his time for. To the extent that he did not have any time to find food to eat. So he suffices with whatever the Prophet provided him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Whatever. So that he could gather knowledge. So he gathered knowledge so much that even the companions who had been with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the very beginning, like Abdullah ibn Umar and some others, they did not gather as much reports as Abu Huraira did. We mention this and go to this statement. One day, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, himself, Zayd ibn Haritha, were in the masjid, and one other companion. Aside that, one day he came to the Prophet Muhammad and complained to him. He says, I memorize and forget. And it was said that the messenger told him to open his mouth, which he did, and he spat into it. You will not forget after today. In some reports, it was said that the hands were hit on the chest of Abu Hurairah. So he made serious efforts to be able to preserve the sunnah, and Allah made it possible for him. So it wasn't that he was just making dua, he was making dua and he was making a sincere effort, and Allah made it possible. He is the one who combined more than any other person the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gathered what others had with his own. Radiallahu anhu. He said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. The hour will not be established حتى until تطلع الشمس, the sun rises, من مغربها, from its place of set. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. فإذا طلعت فرآها الناس. When it rises from its place of set and the people see it, آمنوا كلهم أجمعون. Everyone who saw it will have iman in Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah's sign. They will have iman. The mu'minun and both the kafirun. The mu'minun will have increment in their iman, and the kafirun at the time will want to be mu'minun. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, Fazak. Because don't say, why did you, he says, amanu kulluhum ajma'un. Why did you say they will want to be mu'minun? When it says, amanu kulluhum ajma'un. They will want to be mu'minun because la yanfa'uhum iman. On this day, that iman will not be of any benefit to them. So it's as if they had not even believed from the very beginning. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, فَذَاكَ حِينَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That is the time that Allah was talking about in the Quran when he said that حين ينفعوا نفسا, at a time حين لا ينفعوا نفسا إيمانها, that a time will come when the iman, belief that an individual makes attempts to harm, لا ينفعوا, it will not have impact, it will not have the impact of iman, it will not have the influence that iman should have, the effects of iman, they will not have it. They will not have what iman brings about. They will not have it. They will not have it. Not just that. أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. The one who has iman لم يكسب في إيمانه أو من إيمانه خيرا. The one who had iman but had not performed good deeds would want to perform more good deeds at the time because his iman will want to increase. But لا ينفعه. It will not benefit him. That was why in the first hadith of Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, Badiru al-a'mal sitta. Bring forward good deeds before 6 things happen. Because when those things happen, good deeds will not be beneficial. Likewise, the iman of the one who now wants to believe will not be beneficial to him. That hadith occurs in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari of al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So that is about tulu'u shamsi min maghribiha. The 8th point he mentioned. It says khuruju dabbatin fil ard, the emergence of a beast from the earth. Allah will cause a beast to occur on the earth. The fourth thing the ulama mentioned about this beast is a verse from the Quran. I think in An-Nahl, wherein Allah says, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ, when al-qawl, when the word
occur. When the promise comes to occur, waqa al qawl. What is the promise? The promise that this world shall end. When that occurs, Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ. We will send out to them دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, a beast from the earth. Allah will cause a beast to come out from the earth. تُكَلِّمُهُمْ, and this beast will speak with the people. This beast, one major thing it will do is that it will talk to people. The beast will come out. So ulama have about 5 or 6 different positions about what this beast will be. Some say it is the child of the camel that Allah raised with Nabi Saleh. Some say it is different explanations people have given. But like we mentioned, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Wadil would say, there is no evidence to affirm any of them. Whatever anyone says regarding this matter will definitely require an authentic hadith. And there is no authentic hadith regarding the nature of the beast itself. How will it be? But he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, in authentic narration, some of what the beast will do and how it will do it. One of it is what Allah told us, to kallimuhu. It will speak to people. The beast will come and it will speak to people. So we read this hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions the beast. He says, Salatun إذا خرجنا لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كتبت في إيمانها. When 3 things happen, it says, لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها. No soul will be benefited by its belief. لم تكن آمنت من قبل. If it had not had belief before, the person who had not had iman before these 3 things occur, having iman when these things occur, these 3 things occur will not benefit such individuals. And he says, not just that, even the one who wants to perform good deeds, his good deeds will not be of benefit to him. And the first one he mentioned is Tulu'u Shamsi min Maghribiha. And we had discussed Tulu'u Shamsi min Maghribiha. The next one he mentioned, he says, Wad Dajjal. Likewise, Dajjal. We mentioned, why is it that the issue of Dajjal is mentioned here? Because the people will be in great confusion such that they will not even, the one who wants to have belief will not even think about belief. Because all of what by which you want to tell him, don't worry, you will get into Al-Jannah. This is one Al-Jannah that Dajjal is promising him, even when that Jannah will be now. You say, oh, be careful, don't get into the fire of Allah. This is one fire Dajjal is promising. So things will be confusing to the individual. So that is why the issue of Dajjal is mentioned alongside. Otherwise, it would have occurred earlier, inshallah, before this one come up. And then he says, Wada Batul Arm. The third thing, the first thing he mentioned, Tulu'u Shamsi min Maghribiha. The second thing is mentioned, Ad-Dajjal. The third thing is mentioned, Khuruju Dabba. The emergence of the beast from the earth. And this will occur, Subhan, in the morning, or duha, ma'azir. It will occur duhan, at the time of duha. Yes, in the morning. Because the time of duha commences from immediately after sunrise. The time that we mentioned as the time of al-ishraq. As in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The first time, the first period of salatul duha. People ask this question a lot. What is the difference between Salatul Duha and Salatul Al-Ishraq? There is no difference between the two. Other than that, Al-Ishraq is awwal waqt al-duha. The first period of Salatul Duha is the one that is referred to as what? Al-Ishraq. Otherwise, there is no difference. So it means Duha commences from the beginning of Ishraq up until the time that we have yani kubailu zawad, before we have the sun exiting its zenith. So this will come out at that time. Where will it come out from? Many of the ulama say it will come out from Makkah or from somewhere in the Arabian Peninsula, but there is no hadith that is mentioned regarding that. They say, oh, it will come out from Makkah, it will come out from Makkah. The ahadith that we are mentioned were declared to be very weak. So, but we are saying it as they say it. They say it will come out from Makkah. But where is the proof for that? There is no authentic hadith known to me and to those that I have seen their work that specifies where this Dabba will come out from. Ma'aha Asa Musa. This beast will come along with the staff of Nabiyyu Musa alayhi salam. This beast will come along with the staff of Nabiyyu Musa alayhi salam. Wa khatamu Sulaiman. And the ring of Sulaiman. It will have the staff of Musa alayhi salam. These ones occur in authentic hadith. It will have the staff of Musa with it. And it will have the ring of Suleiman that carries his stamp will be with him. And he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, تَخْتُمُ أُنْفَ الْكَافِرِ بِالْخَاتَمِ تَخْتُمُ. It will stamp sign on the noses of the kuffar when it sees a kafir, to give it a sign in its nose, at the tip of the nose, with the khatam of Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَتَجْلُوا وَجْهَ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِالْعَصَى جَلَى. And then with the staff, it will separate the frontal hairs in front of the mu'min. The believers will have their hairs in their front. تَجْلُوا. It will separate it. And their faces, as a result of that touch, will become bright because they are people of Iman. But for the kuffar, he will stamp their faces with from the ring of Nabiyyu Sulaiman alayhi salatu. The Prophet said alayhi salatu, hatta inna ahl al-khawan, to the extent the people be so distinguished, it will distinguish the people of Iman and the people of kufr with this sign, to the extent that inna ahl al-khawan, some people who are sitting together to eat on a table, la yajtami'una ala khawanihim, they will sit down around their table taking dinner or taking lunch or taking a meal. They will sit down taking a meal. Fayaqulu hadha, this one will say, ya mu'min, oh mu'min. The other one will say, yaqulu hadha ya kafir. The other one will say, oh you kafir. Why? Because the kuffar will be known by the stamp from the ring of Sulaiman in the hand of this beast. And the mu'minun will be known from the touch and the brightness of their face that this Dabba will bring upon their faces. This hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and Shaykh Ahmad Shakir declared it sahih. So the hadith is reliable, inshallah. So this is regarding Dabba. Where will it come out from? How will it look? For how long will it stay? Allahu A'lam. And then the ulama say these two signs will follow themselves. Tulu'u al-shamsi min maghribiha and khuruju da'abatil ard. These two things will follow themselves. If one occurs today, the other one will occur the following morning. So if the beast occurs this morning, comes out this morning, let's be expecting that tomorrow the sun is going to rise from its place of set. And if it comes the other way, that the sun rises from the place of death, let's be expecting the next morning that the beast will emerge. And all of these things will occur quickly before the end of time. May Allah protect us. The last point, inshallah. Zuhurun nari allati tahshurun nar. Zuhurun nar allati tahshurun nar. The emergence of the fire that will gather the people. Fire will gather the people.
at the end of time. ظهور النار التي تحشر الناس.
The emergence of the fire that will gather the people.
The first evidence for this is the first hadith we read.
The hadith of Huzayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari. In that hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa akhiru zalika narun. And the end of all of that is a fire. Takhruju min al-Yaman. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that fire will emerge from where? From Yemen. There are other ahadith that specifies where in Yemen the fire will come out. They say it is from Aden, very close to the Arabian Sea. If you go look at the map, it's the last land before the ocean. It is from there that this fire will emerge. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wa akhiru zalika narun takhruju min al-Yaman. The last of all of these is a fire that will emerge from Yemen. تَطْرُدُ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ مَحْشَرِهِ. And the fire will pursue the people, turn. It will send the people, إِلَىٰ مَحْشَرِهِمْ, to their place of gathering. Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, he said, they were asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where is that place? Where is that place? And he says, ha huna tahshurun, ha huna tahshurun, ha huna tahshurun. Fa ashara ila qibal ash-sham. The companions were asking the Prophet, where is that place? The Prophet was pointing his hand. There, you shall be gathered there. You shall be gathered there. Huna, there. And he was pointing towards ash-sham. Alayhi salatu wa salam. We also have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Salam in Sahih al-Bukhari, when he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, he wants to know whether he was the Prophet of Allah. Abdullah ibn Salam is amongst the scholars amongst the Jews. He was amongst those who, like Allah mentioned towards the end of Al-Isra, when they heard the Quran, خَرُّ سُجَّدًا وَسَبَّحُوا لَا خَرُّ سُجَّدًا. What did he say? خَرُّ سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. What did he say? وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبُكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. These people are those that, one of them are those who, when they hear the Quran, يَبُكُونَ, they would cry. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. And the Quran will increase them in iman. Before that, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. What did he say from the beginning of the verse? إِنَّ. What did he say from the beginning of the verse? It's not coming to my mind. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا خَرُّ سُجَّدًا. Another verse is coming to my mind. وَسَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. This is talking about mu'minun, the believer. The other one that came to my mind is the one in Al-Ma'idah. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And the verse to the end, this is the one that is coming to my mind. But they all mean the same thing. These were people who, after they accepted Islam, whenever they heard the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reciting the Quran, خَرُّ سُجَّدًا, they go on sajda because of the truth they recognize. From this is what is in Al-Isra that I want. They recognize the truth in what the Messenger says alayhi salam. So if this was the case with Yahud, people who were Jews who accepted Islam, and then when they heard the Quran they cry and they go on sajda, how will it be with those who accepted iman from the beginning? And that was why from the iman of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned of him was He, alayhi radiallahu anhu, cried a lot when he read the Quran. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Abdullah ibn Uthman, he cried a lot even during Salah. One of the Tabi'un reported that when Umar radiallahu anhu leads the Salah, he is in the last row. He will be hearing the cries of Umar in Salah. In the Shama'il of Al-Muhammadiyah, Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyah by Imam Al-Tirmidhi, there is a chapter on it that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the companions said he performed Qiyamul Layl with him. He heard the Prophet humming with cries when he read the Quran. A Tabi'i reported that Abdullah ibn Abbas had two lines on his face as a result of a lot of cries from reading the Quran. Ulama say Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi got blind at the later time of his life because he cried a lot when he read the Quran. These days we read Quran, we don't even feel any. Our attention is to the source. And Allah did not reveal the Quran for that. It's just one of the things, tilawa, to read one out of four for which Allah revealed the Quran. Four, one out of four. So we pay attention to Qalqal al-Kubra, but Al-Kubra is not in our mind. May Allah protect us. I'm paying attention to it because it is a common disease these days. People read the Quran, وَلَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُ. It does not exceed the places of makharij, except those حروف الجوف that comes from the stomach. Otherwise, nothing, no, people don't feel anything now when they read Quran. May Allah protect us. Some of the people will even be reading, so they'll be giving marks. They'll be giving marks and they can get a car. They can get hajj seat when they read Quran. That was the reason why Ubay ibn Ka'b was reading Quran. That was the reason why Mu'az ibn Jabal was reading Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. These are special reciters. Fali Mawla Abi Huzaifa. Those are the reasons they were reading the Quran. If we read the Quran and do not carry along these things, you will be wasting your time. كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفار. May Allah protect us. So, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar said, فَمَاذَا تَأْمُرُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When the fire emerges from Yemen, from Aden specifically, and begins to gather the people, what should we do? And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عليكم بالشام. Take to Sham. Go to Sham. عليكم بالشام. And he had told us that is the place of that. It was one of the statements he made at the beginning of Surah Al-Hashr when he expelled the Jewish tribe, Banu Nadir, from Medina. They asked him, where are we going to go to? He says, إلى أرض محشركم. Go out to the land where mankind will be gathered at the end of time. And he expelled them to Sham, Banu Nadir, one of the last tribes that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam expelled from Medina. He said, they asked me, where should we go to? Go to Sham. So they carried their window pane on their head. The Muslims had them pack some, put it on their head. They packed, they were asked to go to Sham. So the fire will gather the people at Sham, and it is at that place that the last hour will be established. In some ahadith, it says when the fire is gathering the people, it will consume some of the people. And some of the people in their journey from different places traveling to Sham, some of them will sleep over in places, the fire will wait for them. This contained in authentic narration. When they wake up, he continues to follow them behind. All of you go down to this place, and it will gather them to Sham. It is at Sham that the last hour will be established over the rest of human beings. So this is the last time that this Sheikh mentioned in his book, Ashratu Sa'a, Zuhurun Nar, Allati Tahshurun Nar.
the emergence of the fire that will gather the people at the end of time. Ulama always beg Allah that he should protect them from the fitna, because all of these are fitna. Right from the time of Dajjal, from the time of Nuzul Isa alayhi salam, and all of these, they beg Allah to protect them from fitna, because these are great fitna. May Allah protect us from the fitna of this time. But let's not forget, let us be remembering ourselves and reminding ourselves that the last hour is just near us here. The last hour is near us. All of these, when the companions heard it, they were feeling as if they looked back, like Nawas ibn Sam'an said, that if he looked, they were afraid that if they looked back, they would see the judge. Because they felt that it is so near. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu would say, if you meet the judge, tell him, if you meet Isa alayhi salam, Balig alayhi salam amin, Iqra alayhi salam amin, extend the salam to him from me. And there is hadith from Musnad Imam Ahmad that the Prophet said so too, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if they do this at the time because they felt the reality and the nearness of the hour, then we have a greater reason to feel the nearness of this hour. May Allah protect us and grant us success on the day of Qiyamah. Make us leave this dunya as people of Iman. When we get into our graves, may Allah make us from the people of Iman too. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned it once before, and we mentioned the hadith. We read the hadith a lot. Perhaps people would not find out what started the statement. This dua from Abdullah ibn Umar, mentioned by Al-Imam ibn Sunil and also Al-Imam al-Nasa'i in Amal al-Yawmi wal-Layla, that the Prophet would say alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma aqsim lana min khashiyatika ma, this dua. The messenger said it after making a mawizah to the companions. He summoned them, he gave them a summon, and after it he made the dua. So that's why ulama say when you make a summon sometimes, at the end of it you make dua for the people. That was the, and that is the basis of making dua after we finish that discussion. Some of the people may be saying, why dua after a discussion? That is the evidence for a dua after a discussion by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think it's tough for us to stop here. We are at the dot of time, inshallah. May Allah accept it as act of worship and make it sincerely done for his sake alone. If a person is saying Allah make it act of worship, may Allah make it act of worship. If the individual is not sincere, not just before it, during it, and after it, Allah will not have anything to do with it. Because listening to sermons is also from the aspect of worship. Giving sermons is also from the aspect of worship. So on both sides, we must make sure that we think of it and renew our intentions that it must be for the sake of Allah alone. Otherwise, He will not accept it. You will just be wasting your time saying Allah accept it. He will not accept it. May Allah protect us from insincerity and grant us acceptance in all that He does. May He purify our souls and make us people who will put forward worship for His sake alone. I think if we have few questions we can ask, we find answers to them, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. You say what? Dabatul Ard. It's one of the opinions. Some of the ulama say the Dabatul Ard is Al-Jassasa. Jassasa was met by Tamim ibn Auf when we narrated the case of the Jalko. The first beast they came across was Jassasa. It is one of the opinions mentioned by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in At-Tadhkira. But that hadith, it does not indicate that Jassasa will come back again. It does not indicate that Jassasa will come back. If it is still that Jassasa, the hadith does not indicate Jassasa. And it was named Jassasa because he gave them prior information like Jassus. Jassus, those SSS, police, CID, they send to spy.
He was the one who gave Tamim and his companions information typically about who Dajjal. That was why they called him Jastafa. He called himself to Jastafa. Ulama explained that that is why he was called Jastafa. But to say he is a Dabba that will come out from under the earth, because that is what that verse indicates, and the ahadith that speak about it, that he will come minal out from the earth. It implies, Allahu Alam, that he will come from inside the earth. It was also mentioned by Sheikh Yusuf Al-Wabil in his book, Ashraf al-Sa'ah. But it remains to have a proof that the Dabbatul Ard is the same as the Jastafa. Allahu Alam. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen wa antum. He forgot. Mouth. No, it is not. Things like that are referred to as at-tabarruk, seeking barak. The Muslims only sought barakah from the Prophet Muhammad. It was so much that even like during Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam poured his phlegm, they went and took it and rubbed their body with it. When the Prophet made wudu alayhi salatu wasalam, they will take his water and rub their body, the Prophet Muhammad. Like Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she preserved the bowl with which the Prophet used to drink water. And in Ash-Shama'il, some of the Tabi'un reported that Anas ibn Malik also brought out a bowl and told the people that I served your messenger water for 10 years with this bowl. So for her, Umm Salama radiallahu anha made a silver coating for that bowl. And whenever a person fell ill amongst them, her own was the hair of the Prophet Muhammad. The hair. We know during Hajjatul Wida, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called a companion, radiyallahu anhu. When the person shaving the barber, the Prophet told him alayhi salatu wasalam to shave the right side of the hair, and he shaved the right side of the hair. He gave it to the companion whose name I won't remember. He said, take it. And he kept it. And when he shaved the left side, he gave it to him again. Share it amongst the people. This hadith occurs in the Sharh of Riyadh al-Salihin by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymin. I think he brought this hadith while explaining another hadith. If you have the Fada of Dari ibn Jawzi, it occurs in the fourth volume. So in that hadith, he gave it to this companion. He gave half, you take. He gave another half to another companion. To him, go and distribute it amongst the people. So the companions had the hairs of the Prophet Muhammad. Apart from the story of the bowl, the story of the bowl ends with Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He saw it and he recorded that he saw the bowl with which the Prophet drank alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the people made tabarruk with it. They make thick barakah from it. So this hair that Umm Salama kept radiallahu anha, when a person fell ill, they will dip the hair into the water. And they will give the person the water to drink. Bi-ibnillah, the person will get cured for his illness or her illness. So the companions did things like this. But they never did it with any other than the Prophet Muhammad. So if we want to do it with other people now, we must be able to provide proof for that. The companions only did that with the Prophet Muhammad. Alone, not with any other. So that allowance does not cover us today. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, he has a book on this issue, on At-Tabarruk with the Athar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you go back to it, you find these Athar, and you find better explanations than I have given. Another scholar, Al-Kurdi, also wrote about it. But his own position was, because of his inclinations towards Sufiya, that it is allowed for the rest of us. But the ulama kept on asking, if you say it is allowed for the rest of us too, can you provide evidence? Did they do that with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? Did they do that with Umar radiallahu anhu? Did they do that with any other person apart from the Prophet Muhammad? They did not. The companions did not do that with anybody. Even though they were all agreed that the best person amongst them was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Yet none of them did that with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. If you say people invite people to make dua, please make dua for me. You go to a Muslim to say make dua for me. This is from the aspects of at-tawakkul. This is something different altogether from the issues of at-tabarruk. Allahu Akbar. So these two books you find good in it, but that book of Al-Kurdi, Al-Iraqi is a bad book. It contains so many things that are funny. Allahu Akbar. Ameen. Naam. At-swalu. The people who are there, the people who are in the earth where Allah chooses that the swallow should occur, whether they are pious people or wicked people, they will be swallowed. You remember the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when he said, Yagzu Jayshun al-Kaaba, that a group of people will want to fight the Kaaba. And when they get to Bayda'a min al-Ard, he said, Yukhsafu bi awwalihim wa akhirihim. And Aisha asked radiallahu anha, كَيْفَ يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ صَالِحُونَ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مَعُ. They are fasting. In fact, in a report she said, there are people from amongst the people of the market. They are not involved in the soldiers. They say, يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ. He said, they will be all consumed in by the earth, and then they will be raised, each of them, according to his intention. So it doesn't mean that it may not include people who are pious or people who are not pious, because the majority of the people at the time will not be pious people. Perhaps it may be from the aspect of taqu fitnatan la tusibanna alladhina zalamu minkum khassa. Allahu akbar. Alaykum salam. Amin wa ansur. Okay. Yes. Reading the Quran is one out of four duties the Prophet was sent with. It's in the Quran. It says, كَمَا رَسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. Four. The same thing in Al-Jum'ah. Four. يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ. He will read the Quran to you. But it did not end there. It did not stop there. The Prophet will teach us how to read the Quran. If you learn Quran from somebody who teaches you only how to read the Quran, he's being unfair to you. If you learn the Quran from somebody who will only teach you how to read the Quran and not teach you the rulings of the Quran, he's being unfair to you. It is mentioned from Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah that he reported from his teacher that Abdullah ibn Umar took 10 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes, 10. Abdullah ibn Umar took 10 years to memorize Al-Baqarah. And nobody would, if you call the ulama amongst companions, before you end this hand, one hand, before you call five people, you will mention Abdullah ibn Umar. And he took 10 years to memorize Al-Baqarah and learn it. So what was he doing in all the 10 years? Ahkam. As he was learning Ahkam. The Sabi who reported from Uthman ibn Affan that they were not exceeding 10 verses. So, 10 verses. Okay, we say there's no time today for anybody to do that. We give excuses, I don't have time, I don't have people do that. But that is not to say the individual should carry the Quran on his head without knowing the meaning of what he's reading. Even in Tilawa, Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he was saying Bada'i Al-Fawaid, that if you choose to read the Quran, Al-Fawaid, if you choose to read the Quran, a page, so that you can study It is better for the individual, it is better than the individual who goes on reading the Quran without looking at the meanings of the Quran. He says, because Allah says, the Quran was revealed, liyadabbaru ayatihi. What is the beginning of the ayah? Quran. أنزلناه مباركا ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. The Quran was revealed so that ليدبروا آياته, so that the signs will be pondered upon, not just because it could be read. Reading is just one thing. Knowing it and following it is more important, in fact. But the issue is, if you can't read well, it will be difficult for you to learn it truly. So learn how to read well and learn the meaning of the Quran. Learn the meaning of the Quran. When people teach you Quran, ask them, what does it mean? So you will not be being kalhimar yahmilu asfara. I will be very surprised. I have seen issues. I know somebody who was said to, a young lady, who was said to have memorized the Quran, and then she knows another riwayah of Quran. So I asked her, do you know Ayatul Istizan? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, I'll tell you now. You see that you know it. She said, okay, tell me, sir. I said, okay. I read the verse to her. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. I said, do you know this verse? She said, yes, very well. I said, do you know the meaning? She said, no, I don't know. At age 14, 15, she memorized the Quran in two ways of reading. And yet she doesn't know the meaning of Ayatul Istizan. At age 14, 15, a Muslim girl does not know the verse that gives the ruling of asking permission to enter a house, when even children are included in the ahkam of that verse. Children, such that as they begin to grow and understand, you teach them those ahkam. And here is a person at age 14, 15, memorizing the Quran, making murata every day. Kalhima. He doesn't know what Allah is talking about. Just reading the Quran. The one who has not memorized but who understands what the Quran says is better than such person. And follows it is better than the one who only memorizes but doesn't know anything. So what is the benefit of the memorizing? What did Allah say concerning so and so? Okay, but do you know this verse? Yes. Do you know what it is telling us? No. Basic issues the Muslims should pick from the Quran. So when you teach people Quran, it's exception perhaps, when you teach children. But even at that, you must familiarize them one way or the other, particularly verses of stories. Children like verses of stories. Tell them the story is there. They will hardly forget it till they die. So, but when you just make tahfiz of an individual, the person doesn't know left or right. Except when the person makes a mistake to say Fatiha, to add in Fatiha, he adds in Kafra. Not just that the person corrects the person, he starts laughing and jesting at the person. If the person had actually known the Quran, will he laugh and jest at the other person? So why the Quran? What is the benefit of the memorizing of the Quran? So if you learn Quran from the individual who only teaches you how to read the Quran, but does not tell you what does the Quran mean, what are the rulings of the Quran, the ulama, the early Muslims used to say, al-ilmu khashiyatullah. Knowledge, real knowledge is the fear of Allah. The knowledge that the individual gathers and he does not think any fear of Allah in his mind as he gathers knowledge, he says, wait. Until he converts it to that which makes him fear Allah subhanahu. And that's their statement, it speaks also from a verse of the Quran. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. So when he says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Why? Why is it ayatun fi suduri alladhina utul ilm? Why is the Quran a miracle or a sign in the heart of those that Allah has given knowledge? Because it will control their actions, their statements, their speeches, everything they do. the Quran will be their guiding it. So what's the benefit that the person memorizes the Quran? And then he's not. I'll stop this aspect of this discourse with something that happened in Kaduna. One of our brothers, if you want to know his name, if you come to me, I will tell you his name, call him and ask him this story. He was coming back from Salat to Sufi, and he saw somebody smoking in their hand. So the brother said, Malam, Salaam alaikum. That is, Malam, I'm greeting you, Salaam alaikum. The brother did not answer. It is allowed not to answer a person committing sin at the time of the sin, or at the time that he is not committing the sin, by way of making him realize that you are sad with what he is doing. So the brother did not answer him. The brother told me the story. He said the next thing he had said, Mala, say, Mala, are you thinking that we didn't memorize Quran? If you sit down here now, I will read Baqarah to you from beginning to the end. Meanwhile, he didn't go for Salat to Subha and he's smoking in their hand. What is the benefit of that? So, learn the Quran. When you say learn the Quran, not just how to read the Quran. Learn the Quran, how to read the Quran. Learn the ahkam of Quran, the meaning of Quran. If you don't know Arabic, the person teaching you Qalqalah to Subha should also tell you ahkamul kubra of the Quran. May Allah make the Quran beneficial to us. Many people read the Quran, they don't benefit other than the thaw they are pronounced. And it does not end there. Sincerely, they know it does not end there. It does not end there. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. Amin wa Aywa, Abdullah ibn Salam asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about Ashraf al-Sa'ah. He wanted to use it to confirm the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from amongst the things that the Prophet told him were these signs that we mentioned. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Alaykum as-salam. Now, you say what? Naam. Are the frustrations of the Quran, sujood tilawa, are they restricted to the portions wherein the signs are made, like the one we mentioned in Al-Isra, at the end of that verse, there is a stoppage there. Before Kulidu Allah, Widu Rahman, Ayyam ma tad'u, falahu al-asma'u al-husna, wa la tajhar bi salatika, wa la tuhafit biha, wa li tarbayna zalika sabila. Till the end of that surah, there is a stoppage there for sajda. The one in Wasjud Waqtarib, Suratul Iqra, and the one in Surah Al-Sad about Dawood alayhi salam, another in the Quran, about 14 or so. Now, 17. There is khilaf. So, can we, apart from this place, say sajda? I've only read ulama talking about making sajda in this place. They even talk about the obligation, the ruling of those sajda. Is it obligatory? Is it not obligatory? This is what I have seen. But whether in other parts of the Quran, sajda could be made, I have not seen them saying that we should make sajda. I have not seen. But it is possible I can find. Now. Yeah. Yes. The Quran. Those frustrations are different from these frustrations. Those frustrations are frustrations of thankfulness to Allah, frustrations of regard for what was read, not necessarily frustrations because they read those particular places. Frustrations because they realized the truth in what the Prophet said, as that verse indicates, not necessarily prostrations, because those are places where prostrations should be made. And that's why if we now have to say prostrations should be made, their actions are not proofs, because at the time many of them were not Muslims when they did them. Allahu Akbar. Apart from weeping, they wept a lot when they read the Quran. If they don't know the meanings of the Quran they read, will they be weeping? If they did not know the meaning of what they were reading, will they be weeping? They will not weep. The one who will weep when he hears the Quran is the one who knows what Allah is talking about. Somebody would read Surah to Hud and be smiling and laughing. Hud. That the Messenger himself said, alayhi salatu wasalam, shayyabatni hudun wa akhwatuha, alayhi salam. Surah to Hud made me grow gray hair and its sister. So today we will read it and we will be smiling. I see a lot of people read. They smile when they read Hud. Because they don't know what Allah is talking about. From the beginning of that surah, go back to it. Kitabun ufkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat. Look at. Ufkimat ayatuhu. The signs, the verses of the Quran are ayatul muhkama. They are rulings, operate. Thumma fussilat. And then they are clear cut. Min ladun hakimin khabir. From Hakim, the all-wise, Khabir, the all-knowing, who is well aware of all things. Allah ta'budu, instruction, the first. Those ayatul muhkama, those ayatul mufassala, the first instruction it comes with is Allah ta'budu illallah. That people should not worship any other than Allah. Now go back to the end of the verse of the surah 2. He started warning the Prophet Muhammad. Fastaqim kama umirta wa man taba ma'aka wa la tatghaw innahu bima ta'maluna basir wa la tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu fatamassakumun nar. Like that till the end. And he says walillahi ghaibu as-samawati wal ard wa ilayhi yurja'u al-amru kulluhu fa'budhu wa tawakkal alayhi. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُ. He's still commanding the Messenger alayhi salam. So the issue with us is we should pay attention to the meanings of the Quran. Fortunately today, the Quran is available in languages that we can read. Yuhanna. The Quran is available in languages that we can read. In Yoruba, in English, in Igbo, in Hausa. It's available. So it's not until me, I don't know how to read Tafsir Ibn Kathir. There are those that are not Ibn Kathir. That the people have made effort. The doctor informed me, even Ibn Kathir is translated into English. I'm well aware of it. Although that translation of Ibn Kathir is a mukhtasar. It is a summary. But the translation is good enough for a person to know what Allah is talking about. And as his knowledge improves, he will abandon that and go for the complete Arabic text. But he will not say because he didn't find, he can't read Ibn Kathir, so he can't read Ibn any other thing. There is something you can read and know what your Lord is talking about, and then go ahead. So people say, no, don't read anyone. So you'll be following him at the back forever. You won't know what Allah says. If he makes a mistake, he will tell him, no, Allah doesn't want this one. Because he blindfolded the people. So don't learn any other thing except from me. Don't read any other thing except from me. So when he's misguiding them, I'm behaving like the local champion. Nobody knows anything. They can't say, oh no, you are wrong. Because they didn't know anything. But if they have another source of knowing something, at least they can ask questions. Please, I read that this. Can you please explain? If there are 1, 2, 3 mistakes in it, when he himself interprets the Quran, we will find 1, 2, 3 mistakes in it. If somebody can come and say, in that translation of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 mistakes. Tell him to. You come and explain the Quran. We will find 1, 2, 3, 4 mistakes in your own explanations too. Because Allah did not create a perfect human being who never made a mistake. Allah didn't create that human being. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, I just got the book recently, in 2 volumes, he mentioned the verses of the Quran that the scholars of Tafsir have erred. They made mistakes regarding them. He will point out the mistakes and make the corrections. In 2 volumes. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said, all those who came before me that I have seen their work regarding these verses, they are making mistakes here. This is a mistake. He will prove it. And then he will establish what is correct regarding it. In 2 volumes, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Does it now mean every person who came and wrote Tafsir before Ibn Taymiyyah, we should throw away the Tafsir? We should do that. وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ. May Allah protect us. Alaykum As-salam. HOS. Confirm. Alayhi salatu. Yes, there will be ulama, say people will live in peace, they will know peace. After these generations go away, people will return to kufr. There are narrations that indicated that in some of them he prostrated. Like that in Surah As-Sad. The hadith is in Muwatta Imam Malik. When he prostrated, he even said it was a prostration of seeking for forgiveness by Dawood alayhi salam and a prostration of thankfulness by me, Allahu Alam. This is what I can remember about that hadith. There are areas, but I can't say whether for all the 14 or 17 places he prostrated. But I can find out, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Ihtiba, yes, there's ihtiba. Ihtiba is to sit down and clasp your lap to your stomach. When you connect your lap, ihtiba, you clasp your lap to your stomach and sit on your buttock, and then you grab your two legs. The Prophet used to sit like that. The hadith is authentic in Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya and in Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. Ihtiba. He used to sit like that. Alaykum. But that sitting is not allowed during the khutbah of Salatul Jummah. Ihtiba. It's not allowed to sit ihtiba during the khutbah of Salatul Jummah. Naam. That is the one that I know now, that we should not sit ihtiba. It has another name I'm trying to remember. Ihtiba. Now, qurfusa. Ihtiba is also referred to as what? Al-qurfusa. So when you sit, you clasp your stomach to your lap and you hold your leg. The report in Ash-Shama'il mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat like that one day mutakhashi'an, while feeling the fear of Allah in him. Anyone who saw him knew that this one is thinking and making azkar. What came to my mind now is that this asar of this hadith of this woman in Ash-Shama'il is not authentic. It's not authentic. But there are others right in that chapter about the Prophet sitting kurfusa or ihtiba'an. So, and it is not allowed for Salatul Jummah. Allahu Alam. You find those ahadith also in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. This hadith on ihtiba'an. Bukhari made tabweeb on it. Allahu Alam. Alaykum As-salam. Ameen. He said he has heard it that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he makes tashahud, he points this finger. I have seen this hadith In the last one month from now, I'm trying to remember where, but I can't. I'll look for it again. If I see it, I'll tell you, inshallah. Amen. That when he makes tashahud, alayhi salatu wasalam, he points his first finger.